Listen, I had no idea what I was going to speak about today until about an hour ago. A little more than an hour ago. I thought I knew, but I didn't close the deal on that, I guess, until I got here. So luckily I had a few things up my sleeve. You know, I could tell you a lot of stories about myself. I grew up here in Cass City, Michigan. Went to Cass City High School. Actually hit the longest home run of my career here at Sandusky in a high school baseball game. That was pretty cool. Almost knocked out a third base softball player. But definitely love coming back whenever I can. I don't get back here very often. This is actually my second time ever speaking in public in terms of out of the Bible. The first time was here as well. So life has definitely thrown a few curveballs my way. But I'm looking to share what I've taken away from that, and hopefully you guys can take something away from it yourself. So let's start with a word of prayer. I'm not even going to tell you to take your hats off if you don't want to. You can blame the pastor after church for that, but I'm going to leave mine on because I don't want my hair to be messed up, even though I don't have any. So let's pray real quick. So I will take it off. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us all out here tonight, Lord. Just the opportunity to hang out with friends, family, and just learn a little bit more about you, Lord. Lord, we're going to open up your scripture. Hopefully you'll open up our hearts to what you have to say tonight. And God, I come to you, Lord. I need this so bad. I just pray that November after Thanksgiving, the first Saturday after Thanksgiving, you will let the Wolverines beat the Buckeyes this year. Lord, I pray for that. In your name, amen. So, all right. I got that out of my way. All right, so again, I tend to be overly honest when I talk, so that's what you're going to get from me tonight. Hopefully that's what you get all the time, but I'm going to share a few stats that I pulled up on the internet, and honestly, I can kind of agree with all of them because I went to high school as well. So these are high school stats. Maybe a few of you aren't there yet, but it's probably not that far off from the younger ages. So 30% of high school students are sexually active.
Oh, my God. Why did you have to?
All right. 35% of high school students have drank alcohol. 35% of seniors have smoked weed within the last year. All right. 10% of students who smoke weed, or I'm sorry, 10% of A students, like good students, smart students, smoke weed, in comparison to 48% of D through F students. Pretty interesting, right? And probably one of the biggest numbers and the biggest struggles, not only with youth, but everywhere, 32% of teens admit to accessing pornography. 43% of that 32% do it on a daily basis. So, lots of stats right there that affect every one of you and me and anybody in this room on a daily basis. So, here's what I'll say. I was raised in a way that said, stay away from this stuff. Every day. But unfortunately, you get around friends, you get around family members that maybe aren't leading you on the right path, and you try to fight it as much as you possibly can, but usually you end up getting pulled down instead of pushed forward. So, you know, I'm going to challenge you guys not to think about this stuff in terms of why it's wrong. I'm going to talk to you about how you can help people overcome it, hopefully. This is a scripture that came into my life probably about a year ago, and it's pretty important to me. So I'm going to read it, and we're going to go over some stuff. My dad doesn't even know what I'm speaking about today, and if I get emotional, that's not my fault. That's how I was raised. So, all right, so there is a big idea to this. So I want you to kind of, you know, keep this in mind, and I do have one job, though, and it's for you. What's your name? Yeah. Ryan? Okay. There's a lot of rocks under you right now, right? Stand up.
No, stand up. Stand up. No, stand up. Come on. Come on. Get up. Stand up. I'm serious. I'm not going to do anything. I promise. All right. You see the rocks? There's a lot of rocks there, right? Okay. I wasn't lying to you. I need you to do me a favor and hand one out to everybody in this room. Can you do that for me? They are dirty. I picked them up outside while you guys were playing. Came to my mind just about. I don't know if I got the right amount. Hopefully, if we don't have enough, we'll. All right. Almost done? Hand them down. Hand them down. Okay. Did you get yourself one? All right. So at the end of this, message, or at the end of this little talk, I'm going to give everybody the opportunity to throw that rock at me. If you're capable of doing it. All right? So I'm going to read a little scripture here. But the message of this, and this is for the young school here, drop the mic, hit them with a dab, and get some ink. And I'm not advocating for tattoos. All right? Not yet. That's the message. So I'm going to talk about, turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and I'll read this for you. This is after Jesus has done just a lot of miracles, all right? He just keeps doing miracles after miracles in the gospel. So that's where we're at. Then each went to his own home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this is the woman. This woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman." Okay, so that's verses 1 through, let me read a couple more. "In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They're asking Jesus, "What do you say?" They were using this question as a trap. They really didn't care what he said. They wanted to trap him into saying something wrong. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "So, you know what I take out of that? Is when Jesus was tempted to get really upset and to kind of show his might, he could have said anything he wanted, right? He really could have. But what did he do in that moment? He chose to ignore him, right? He simply looked down at the ground with his finger. I think about it like this. He was just drawing in the sand, right? You know, just trying to tie up time, ignoring, you know, kind of like you guys probably do in English class when the teacher's talking. You probably, you know, kind of like what I was doing back in the school days, but just ignoring them. So the first point I want to make is ignore those that want to bring you down, but surround yourself with people who want to see you succeed. Okay? Ignore those that want to bring you down. You guys are so young right now, but I guarantee that's already happening.
You have those kids, you know, or those friends that are always constantly wanting to bring you down. Trust me, you can't escape that. It is a trap. Don't fall into it. Here's what I say. This is a quote that I go by for work, for play, for whatever. You can take it if you want it. I probably took it from somebody, but winners want to hang with winners. Losers want to hang with winners. Winners do not want to hang with losers. Think about that. If you're a successful person, if you're a great student, if you're the captain of the football team, the cheerleading team, the band, whatever, people want to be with you. Then you start thinking, why do I want to be around people that are going to bring me down? Ultimately in life, it's called the magnet syndrome. If you're really good at something, people always want to attach to you because they're jealous. They're insecure. Yes, you want to help them. You want to support them. But don't let them bring you down. Don't go to their level. Create a new normal. The other thing that I'll say is this. Maybe not so much now, but there's going to be a time in your life, and this has been told to me many times. It's actually true in my life today with some of the situations I'm dealing with. Show me your three closest friends, and I'll show you where you'll be in 5 years. Your three closest friends. Think about that. You got a lot of growing up to do. But when you get into the college ranks, the work field, there's going to be a time where you're going to surround yourself with new friends. Your three closest friends will determine a lot of your future. Keep that in mind. So I'm going to keep going here. So verses 7 and 8. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. That's verse 6. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, this is in the red, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So, I see this. This is what I see happening. So, they're all right. Now, these stones that you have in your hand, they're nothing compared to what stoning somebody in the Bible is, right? That's like dropping boulders on people's heads. That's stoning in the Bible. It's not pebbles and peppering somebody with pebbles all day. It is literally rocks dropped on somebody's head over and over and over again until they die. Sometimes they don't. Our guy Paul survived a few of them. But let me just read that again. It's so awesome. If any one of you is without sin, let him throw the first rock. Drop the mic, right? Think about it. If he had a microphone in his hand and this was the day and age he lived in, he could say that, drop the mic, walk off stage, and everybody would clap. He literally just put everybody in their place. Drop the mic. Or hit him with a dab. Come on. I know you all dab. Hit him with a dab. But he said that, and he literally went right back to writing in the dirt. He knew he was right, but he didn't have to beat his chest. He didn't have to drop the mic. He didn't have to dab on him. He literally went back to business. So what is that? That is an advocate, right? That is the true definition of an advocate. Jesus supports you every step of the way. So an advocate, the definition, a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. This is your cheerleader. This is your ultimate person that rides with you every step of the way and pats you on the back. And that's the opportunity that we have with a relationship with Jesus, is an ultimate advocate. And you know what? Even if you don't want that in your life, he's going to do it anyway. He's going to do it. It's whether or not you get to accept it or not. Let's move on a little bit. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna
I'm going to just embarrass everybody a little bit more here. So I talked about those stats a little bit earlier. And, you know, maybe stomachs started to turn a little bit. Maybe that's happened in this room. I'd be willing to bet maybe a few. I'm not going to call anybody out. But guess what? Jesus already knows about it. He knew it was going to happen before it happened. He's already forgiven for that. He's already forgiven you for that. You get to accept whether you want to accept it or not. Choose whether you want to accept it or not. He knows if you've cheated on tests. I did. I cheated on my driving test. I had to. I never went to the course. Got a few tickets because of it. I'm willing to admit that. I'm guessing probably at some time in your life you've reached over your shoulder or looked over your shoulder and got an answer. He knows if people in high school are having sex. He knows if you're using drugs, looking at pornography, drinking alcohol. He already knows. He's not chastising you for it. He's not judging you for that. He wants you to stop. He wants you to love. He wants you to be forgiven for that. He's already done it. Just accept it. So we're going to move on because the end of the story is even better. At this, those who heard, let's pick it up where he said it again just to get that thought fresh in our minds again. If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. I just picture a bunch of people in the room, you know, throwing darts at people, you know, just peppering them with insults. Like, you're a punk, you're a jerk, you're this, you're that. Come on, you're in high school, right? Junior high, it happens all the time. I was that kid. I always got in the crowd. It happens. It happens at work now. People do it to me. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, because usually the older ones are always the ones that want to be the most, you know, judgmental, said, I've never done anything in life, right? Those are always the ones, the seniors always pick on the freshmen, right? The eighth graders always pick on the sixth graders. They're the old ones. They've never done anything wrong, right? Or they've probably taught you how to do everything wrong along the way. Don't be that person. They left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Where'd they all go? Where did they all go? They all left. They had no stones to throw. Nothing. Has no one condemned you? The lady's response, no one, sir, she said. Then neither do I. Right? So there's going to be a lot of people in your life that are going to condemn you. Your parents, your teachers, your coaches, your friends. You know, I have this saying in life, don't judge me because I sin a different way than you. Think about that. Yeah, you know, I might have cussed, but you know what? You probably did something different than cussing. Don't judge me, because every sin is the same. It's a sin. How powerful is that? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I. Go now and leave your life of sin. It takes a big person to not judge somebody. It really does. You're going to be put in situations where your friends are going to do something wrong, and you can either encourage them or you can jump on the bandwagon and try to bash them into the ground, because that's what happens. But unfortunately, that person who did something wrong, they're only going to continue to do it wrong until they get somebody to pick them up. The point of this, the big idea of that section is Jesus will protect you first and save you second. He's not afraid to protect you first. Now, sometimes he wants you to be saved first, but he will protect you before He saves you. And that's exactly what happened in this story. He protected that woman when every other woman without Him in that area would have been stoned. Protected her first and saved her second. So, why does this hit home to me? So, I love, like, over the last 6 months, I've just fully invested myself into going to church. If you haven't started going to church, do so. It's 2 hours a week. You're here on a Tuesday night. That's kind of like above and beyond, right? That's extra credit. That's the best. Sunday you're supposed to go. Here, it's extra credit. You're above and beyond, so kudos to you. But the church, we need people in the church to go outside of the church and bring people in. Right? Everybody's here because, you know, you probably have a good idea why you're coming here. And you might want to be here, maybe not. But there's a lot of people probably in Sandusky surrounding area that have never gone to church. I live in a city of 13,000 people. No, I'm sorry. I live in a city of 113,000 people. Draw a circle 15 miles around the radius of our church. And 45,000 people in that radius have never stepped foot into a church. That's over half the city. Now, I'm sure they might have gone for a funeral or something like that. But that's a sample size. That's a small city. And there's probably 30 churches in that city. Anybody know who Sean Carter is? Nobody knows what Sean Carter is? How about Beyonce? Yeah. So Sean Carter is actually Jay-Z's real name. Jay-Z's really not named Jay-Z. So I'm going to read you a lyric in one of his songs. It's Church in the Wild is a song. I don't recommend it. There is some words that, you know, don't jive with going to church, but here we go. Two tattoos, one red, no apologies. The other said love is cursed by monogamy. That's something that the pastor don't preach. That's something that a teacher can't teach. When we die, the money we can't keep, but we probably spend it all because the pain ain't cheap. Preach. We make it out alive. All right, all right. No church in the wild. 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 This is a guy who makes more money than we'll ever see in our life. Basically saying there's nobody there to help his people. The movies, the rock stars, the rappers. When we talk about them in a church setting, we chastise them, we judge them because they're not like us. Oh, we like their music, but then we get mad when they're arrested for smoking weed on a Saturday night. There's nobody there. He's simply crying out for help because there's nobody there to stand up and pick his friends up. So this lady, she got saved by Jesus, right? Protected her. So this is the part that I struggle with the most when it comes to being saved, when it comes to being forgiven. I'm going to touch on three things and that's it. That's probably my first false close. But three things. Anybody know what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 usually represents? Right? Love chapter. So, probably any of you that get married will hear this in your wedding. You'll hear it. Right? And it's kind of sad that that's all it's talked about is in weddings. Because it's so powerful. Let's listen to a few things. Like, starting in verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then it gets into the juicy stuff, right? I'm going to say it a little bit different. I'm going to use Ryan's name. You're my volunteer today. I want you to think of love and put your name. This is when you know you're loved. This is when you know you love. Ryan is patient. Ryan is kind. Ryan does not envy. Ryan does not boast. Ryan is not proud. Ryan is not rude. Ryan is not self-seeking. Ryan is not easily angered. She keeps no records of wrongs. She does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. She always protects. Ryan always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I got a confession to make. Probably, probably in 15 hours, I'll be officially divorced. Because I wasn't ready. That's a true story. Life. I wasn't ready. This whole love in high school, love in college, that's a joke. It's a joke. Until you can speak your name in front of that, you're not ready. There's a cross behind here, right? So that cross is a symbol of what true love is, right? True love. But you know what's not on that cross that truly represents the love? Is the blood that was shed on that cross. Without that blood, all that is a piece of wood. Right? Yeah, in church, we don't want to have that gruesome look up there. But without blood on that cross, all it is a piece of wood. One more part here. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man or a woman, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. I'm sure one of you might get a tattoo of this one day. Faith, hope, and love, right? It's the anchor with the cross. I've seen a few of them. But the greatest of these is love. None of those others matter without love. You can't have faith without somebody dying on that cross. So, three things. This lady who, we don't even know her name, right? A woman. We're going to call her Sam. Sam. Sam was saved. Sam was protected. But you know what would be really hard for Sam? Is to accept that. So God's love, these three things I want you to take with you everywhere you go. God's love, number one, frees you from your past. There's going to be a lot of past, right? I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. But it doesn't mean I can't ask for forgiveness 100 times a day. It took me a long time to come up with this message today because Satan was just attacking me all day. I was dealing with lawyers. I was dealing with a potential ex. It was a long day, and I know exactly why. Is because he was interfering with what I wanted to do, and that's to come here and speak. I got a verse for you. Free you from your past, Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead. So, long story short, about 6 months ago, I spent 2 days in jail. It was a fun time. Not really. Made some mistakes. And I basically said, you know what? This will never happen again. I decided for the first time in my life, I'm going to fall forward
instead of backwards. I pressed forward to the things that are ahead. And I can tell you that it feels so much better than trying to fix a wrong with another wrong. The second thing with God's love, He brings you peace in the present. He's freed you from the past. He's peace in the present. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. My story gets better and better. I just told you. Went to jail. Learned a big lesson. That didn't even bother me compared to 3 months before that. 10 years old. My son, stage 3 colon cancer. That's 1 in 1 million chance for a 10-year-old to get. You don't get screened for that stuff till you're 50, unless you're unlucky. The juice they make you drink, forget it. But without him in the present, my marriage was on the rocks during that time. There was nothing else I could turn to other than him. Nothing. And then the best thing is hope for the future. He frees you from your past. You've got to accept that. Quit walking around like I did for months. Woe is me. He's forgiven you. Accept it. He's given you peace in the present. It doesn't matter if it's your SAT, your ACT, your job interview, your first date, your whatever, peace in the present. There's over 7,000 times in the Bible that God speaks of a promise. 7,000 for every situation. That's pretty good. Hope for the future. So I gave you Philippians 3:13. Let's say 3:14 now. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. So we just talked about a lady who was saved from death. Sam, we called her. I called her. She was about as deserving to die from the Moses law as anybody. But she was in the right place at the right time. Jesus saved her, protected her. He didn't judge her like everybody else would have. My plea, my prayer for everybody in this room, because it's going to happen, take it from me. I went to college. I went to high school. I graduated. I went to college. I partied better than anybody partied ever before. I loved it. I loved high school too. Don't ever say you hate high school. Don't ever say, hey, I want to move out of the house. Because once you do, life gets tough. Went to college. Had a child. Got married. Yeah, in that order. Not the right order. That order. And I had to grow up really fast. I missed out on a lot of life. And I wouldn't have if I did it the right way. Your teachers tell you this. Your pastor tells you this. Your mom and dad tells you this. You probably have friends, brothers, sisters that tell you this. But unfortunately, we usually never listen. Take it from somebody that didn't listen. And give yourself the opportunity and start thinking about it today. Not everybody's going to be perfect. I know that. I'll be the first person to say that. I don't expect that. But if you remember anything, just remember that. Remember what I said. You have an opportunity to make choices. And the bad choices that you make, because you will make them, they're already forgiven. Jesus already knows they're going to happen. So don't beat yourself over it. Fix it and move forward. But it starts with change. God calls every one of us in this room to do something. I'm going to talk about a few Hall of Famers real quick. All right? Moses was angry and he killed a man.
Noah was a drunk and woke up naked. Samson was a player. Anybody know what that is? A player. He loved women. David, maybe the greatest king in the Bible, was an adulterer and a killer. Saul, who had killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people, is now Paul, who has saved thousands and thousands of more people. Peter, the greatest disciple of all, in his opinion, denied him three times on the day before his, well, near his death. Three times. Martha was the red light person staying out late at night. She was the one that he saw first of all people, right? Of all people to see him raised from the dead was a sinner. It wasn't his chosen 12. So here's my call. Don't wait. Jesus didn't call the disciples. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Go pray about it. Go to church and tithe. Give 10% of everything you make. You know, call me when you're ready. He said, do it now. Come follow me. He didn't care if his disciples were drunk fishermen. He didn't. He didn't care if Moses killed somebody. He was still going to take all the people out of the land. He's willing to invest in the people who are available. He doesn't care if you're perfect. He wants you to be available. Free from your past, peace in your present, and hope in the future. Because it doesn't matter if it's today or 20 years from now, that's going to apply to your life. Thanks for letting me come out tonight. I'm going to add just a few things to the rules on Teen-O-Rama that he might have forgotten from my days in Teen-O-Rama. So, first of all, when I was in Teen-O-Rama, I didn't get hot dogs and tacos. I got like an Oreo and a juice. What is going on? There's a couple better ones. So, ladies, I don't know the rules nowadays, but the shorts, you got to go down to the knees. Got to go to the knees. I don't know if that's still a rule. Because back in my day, it was. And I'm just going to say it right now. If you're sitting next to a girl on the bus, you got to put your hands up if you're holding hands. He'll check. I speak from truth. Teen-O-Rama is an awesome thing. You know, it speaks a lot to everybody in this room. It's a fun, fun thing. Cedar Point's awesome, right? Love it. Every single year, love it, even if it's 100 degrees or raining. Have fun, but do yourself a favor. Be that better person when it comes to the school year, when it comes to football season, band, college, a few seniors in here, right? College is fun. Love it. It's dangerous, though. Be that person that's going to stand out. Don't fall into the crowd. And remember, the people you surround yourself are probably who you're going to end up like. Let's pray one more time, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that you gave us to spend together today. Lord, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for the willingness for you to protect us, even though we're so undeserving. God, there's people in this room that probably have failed you over and over and over again like I have. And it's comforting knowing that you'll always have your arms wide open to bring us back in. Lord, we thank you for that. Protect us throughout the rest of this week. Protect us on our trip to Cedar Point. Let us have a great time. Hopefully the lines are short and the rides are fun. Lord, we give everything to you in your name. Amen. Yep.